Good afternoon. You're listening to Gambling with an Edge. Now here are your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today, our guest is Anthony Curtis, publisher of Huntington Press and Las Vegas Advisor. Anthony Curtis, welcome back to Gambling with an Edge.
Happy New Year to you and everybody.
Speaking of New Year's, the 2022 Member Rewards booklet, coupon book, is out there. How did that go this year?
Well, first things first, it's not quite out there yet because, you know, similar to last year, there are problems with printing. And that's also a way for me to pass the blame a little bit because, you know, we ran a little late getting things done. That was due to difficulties working with casinos, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we're hoping for about a mid-January delivery of the book that people will be able to use. We've had something called printable rewards. So we call the member rewards book MRB, and we call the printable rewards PRs. And we do have PRs that are available that people who are members of Las Vegas Advisor can download and use. But we're looking at probably about mid-January for the book. Now, regarding how it went, it was the most difficult time ever. I thought last year would be the toughest because a lot of them were still closed. A lot of them hadn't brought back anything, but they were still at that time. They didn't know what was going to happen, and they just kind of knew they needed to promote. And at the end of the day, member rewards is a promotion vehicle for the casinos. They don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. They do this to bring you into their casino thinking that, you know, nature will take its course. They bring you in with a deal and you're going to gamble. So they weren't sure. This year, they've looked at their balance sheets and they've looked at their bottom lines and they're looking at all the money they're making and they're looking at...
They had the best year ever, right?
Broke records right and left. And the reason for that, and especially things like per customer win and things of that nature and per customer spend, because what you have is, you know, all of the crazies. So what do we call them? The degens, right? You know, we call them the degens for degenerates. Not all of them, but I mean, a lot of people who just this... We get tired of hearing pent-up demand, but it's real. And they rush back to the casinos, and they played their brains out, and they spent their brains out. And the casinos didn't even hire back their work staffs because they didn't have to because the people didn't care that they were getting shoddy service and their rooms weren't being made and everything else. And this has been somewhat sustainable up to now. So this year, when I talked to them about member rewards, I had to fight through a lot of doors. I really did. A lot of them wanted nothing to do with it. And two of them are the biggest supposed promoters of middle market and locals and all of that, being Station Casinos and Boyd. Both of them completely out of the book.
Wow. Completely. Nothing.
Nothing. And I mean nothing with prejudice. I mean not just nothing. Not like, well, maybe we'll look back at it. I mean like, we're not interested one single bit. Get out of my face.
Wow.
Yeah. And then as they say that and I hang up the phone, comes on this gushy commercial on TV from Station Casinos talking about how we're all family and we're all in it together and we're all for one another and everything else. And they're sitting back going, screw you. I mean, absolutely. That's what they're doing.
Wow.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. All right. So I wrote this in the current LVA. Basic strategy has always been go where they want you, right? Go all the way back to comps. Go all the way back to Max Rubin in Comp City. And what was his thesis? Go where they want you. Go where they appreciate your action. Go where they're going to give you something for your level of play. And that, you know, goes forward and transmits to this. That's, you need to go to the places that came back and said, yeah, we're still working with you. And we'll talk about, you know, who those places are, the Ellis Islands and the Emerald Islands and, you know, the Ramparts and places like that and the downtown casinos.
And yeah. The converse is you're suggesting people stay away from Station and Boyd? Is that what you're saying?
I would. I mean, I didn't come right out and say it, you know, when I wrote it. And I'm not even going to come right out and say it right now. But I'm not going to go give my action to a place that isn't going to give me something back and doesn't care about me when there are other places that do. You know, this is what it's all about. This is where the big discussion was. This is where I went back and forth with executives right and left. Is I said, this is not sustainable. This is not going to last. Why did you promote and market in a different way all of these years? And all of a sudden you think because there was a pandemic and everybody came back like wild that this is going to continue on forever? No, the people are going to get tired of it. They're going to get tired of getting nothing for their action. And they're going to migrate to other places that are giving them more. And so where are those places? We're seeing regional casinos that I don't know exactly what's happening out there. Now, certainly if a place is run by Station or a place is run by Penn Gaming or a place is run by, you know, these people who are saying no in Vegas, they're going to say no in their regional places as well. But if you're talking about Native American places that have promoted hard all their existence, I think you're going to have a better opportunity there.
What about the big chains? What about MGM and Caesars?
Well, MGM and Caesars were always, you know, in my words and opinion, the evil empires, you know, and I mean, now they're joined by the new evil empires. But I'll tell you this, Caesars is very difficult to get through to. And this year, because of all the other problems, I didn't really take a shot at Caesars. So I can't MF them at the moment because I don't know. MGM shocked me and they took meetings. And they intend to get involved with printable rewards this year. I was very surprised. A young group of guys, all men, that I dealt with in their marketing department, as opposed to some of the old fogies who are afraid to stick their head up, you know, and take a chance anywhere. These guys were very progressive in some of the areas that, you know, we're going to talk about that we're getting back into. So I don't really want to slam on Caesars because I didn't give them a chance, although I kind of know what they're going to say, I think. And definitely not MGM because they were willing to talk. And that's all I want is I want an open door. I want people that, you know, we'll discuss. Boyd and Station were like, nope. Shocking. Really shocking to me. You know, I'll make another point. One more thing, too. I won't let you guys talk. The other thing that everybody's got to watch out for when you talk to gaming is that going the other direction of the casinos, of the local casinos, are the local gaming bars in Vegas, which are promoting to the middle market like crazy, meaning the quarter and dollar players. There's more promotions now than I've ever seen. And there are more that I keep hearing about. And there are aggressive plans from others that I've talked to want to market. They think they see an opportunity here. So I think all this stuff's going to come back and bite the locals that won't, or anybody who really won't participate in a situation like this, not just ours, but you know other forms of marketing to the middle market.
But the local bars you're talking about, a lot of their promotions are you get a free lunch if you play such and such an amount, which is a good deal, but it's only a few hundred dollars through the machine, and that's not a major play. That can never be a major play.
Right. Well, there's not rarely are there major plays, but if you string them together, there can be. I mean, I could tell you about you know, a Wednesday run to four or five different places. And they kind of do it daily. You can almost do a calendar. I hate to say this because I keep saying I'm going to do it and we don't do it because I don't know if we should, you know, just put up a calendar of who's doing what on what day. But you could pick a day and go to four or five different places and have anywhere from a $10 to a $30 EV. And, you know, you're getting over $100 EV for, it's just like the days of the coupon run.
That's what I was just thinking. Yeah. Yeah, for a guy who was just starting out with no bankroll, that'd be a great way to.
Yeah. You know, certainly there's people out there who make big plays. I mean, you know, who make dancer-like plays on video poker and all, and who are you know sniffing at this. But a lot of people, you know, there's two things. You can build a bankroll with it. I mean, I'm guarantee you there is a network out there of people that's of guys mostly and some women, but mostly guys. Just you know, video poker scufflers. That's how they live. They make a living off of it, really. I mean, it's not the living that we would want, probably, but they make a living off of this. But the other thing is, take a guy like me who works a lot, you know, in the publishing world now, and I love doing these things because this is the way I relax. I go out and I get a beer at each place and I play them and I come back with, you know, 50, 60 bucks more than I went out with and I'm shit-faced.
And free beers
right?
And sometimes a burger or two or something,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah. I mean, but you only get four or five beers. But then you have to go out drinking. Cause
well, that's why I got a keg in the office. See, that's how that works. But, you know, I know this is a low-roller play. But I'm saying that the, you know, the middle market, the local casinos made their livings off of the middle market and the locals. They would come in with a $100 bankroll.
Well, and we have a lot of listeners who are interested in those plays as well. I mean, we get questions about the member rewards and about the American Casino Guide. And we had one just last week or something about which should I get? And, you know, we said, do them both, right? Mm-hmm. And people come to town with those two things and run around cashing tickets.
Well, you know, there's no longer the correct answer. American Casino Guide did not publish.
Oh, really?
Yes, there is no book from American Casino Guide this year because I've heard talk that they're going to try to do something online, but they did not publish a book because they could not get response.
Printing, you mean?
Yeah.
Wow.
They could not get response from the casinos when they were when they would make their calls to renew their deals. They could not get a call back.
Wow.
And, you know, we've got an advantage because we're here on the ground. You know, they're in Florida. So they got to do everything, you know, working through people here or whatever. And they just, they got turned down right and left. And they I don't know if they'll publish in the future, but they did not publish this year. So there is no American Casino Guide.
Wow.
So there's, yeah, there's only LVA right now. And I mean, I'd like to talk a little bit about what we have because it's, I'm proud, you know, and impressed that we were able to do what we were able to do.
So to change the subject, what do you have in your members' reward book this year?
Yeah, what's the value?
I haven't done the total value of it yet, but it's absolutely over, you know, between 1 and 2,000 somewhere. It might be over 2,000 if you counted everything. It's hard to put a number on the offers because we keep putting new ones into printable rewards. But we've got 60 to 65 in the book. Where I forget, it's somewhere in there. We got like 20 dining coupons. So, I mean, these are good things where you can go eat at, Oscar's Steakhouse. You can go eat at Emerald Island, which has, I know it's in Henderson, but they got one of the best kitchens around. They're just really great. Or Ellis Island. We got a 2-for-1 entree, Ellis Island. We got a discount in the steakhouse that treasures the Gentleman's Club. So it's like 20% off your total bill. That includes alcohol. You know, we've got 2-for-1s all over the place. You know, Binion's, Plaza Pizza. You know, things like that. So we've actually this year we have two buffets, which last year we had no buffets because there were no buffets. So we've got a 2-for-1 at Rampart, and we've got a 2-for-1 in the printable rewards at South Point, which is already the best deal in town. Then you get a 2-for-1. I mean, we've talked about South Point before. It's $9.99 for breakfast. And with a 2-for-1, it's, you know, two for $9.99. So you're talking $5, excuse me. And it comes with unlimited Bloody Marys for breakfast. You know, I mean, for $5, that's pretty strong. So we're happy. We got a couple buffets, but we're doing some things that we haven't done before. We're bringing in shows. Last time I was on, I said I thought the best show deal in town was Illuminate at the Stratosphere, and we got a 2-for-1. At Illuminate, so now two people can go for, you know, what, $40 a piece or something, it turns out. And these are elevated seats. I mean, in terms of they're better. They're not the nosebleeds. These are up in the middle area or the front areas. And we've got others in the works there. And what we're doing this year that we haven't done before and for quite a while is we're doing room discounts. And that's something the casinos seem interested in doing. So we've got discounts at the Plaza. We got discounts at Binion's. We got discounts at Silver Sevens. We got discounts at the Strat right now. And just think about this. You know, these things typically, these discounts are on the base price. So a lot of these base prices now are $60 and $70. So let's just call it 70, and you stay for three nights. That's 210, or you know, basically we're getting like say 30% off, right? So you're getting $21 off a night for three nights. That's $61 saving right there. To stay at a, you know, if you want to stay at the Strat or at the Plaza, we have similar deals there. And we're working on other ones too. So, I mean, there's just a lot of ways to save money here for people who are coming on vacation and so forth. And then I'll talk about the gambling next.
Okay.
Good.
What's the gambling?
Well, I'm doing all the talking. I don't know. I mean, it's
hey,
just, you know,
people can hear us all the time. You know?
All right. All right. So here's what the gambling came out to. We, of the offers, you guys, notice I hardly say coupons. Because the casinos hate the word coupon. They hate it.
Oh, really?
So we have to use offer or voucher when we talk to them. So it kind of like rolls over when I'm talking to you. I mean, I don't mind saying coupons, right? I write couponomy in the LVA, right? But I kind of like stay off of coupons, but we got, of those 60, say 60 offers, we got 30 of them are gambling offers. So interestingly, they're still willing to do, a lot of these places are willing to do gambling, you know, gambling offers to
these are 10 for five match plays, or
these are mostly, they're mostly better than that. They're like $50 match plays, $25 match plays, both on machines and on table games. Obviously, they're much better on machines. You know, I'll talk about that in a second. But I did do the analysis of the 30 gambling coupons and what they're worth. And this doesn't include the ones, or actually it does. I didn't count them in this, though. There's some places that you can go and you play $20 and you get a meal. So we count that as a gambling coupon. But I didn't count that in this value. The overall value, the EV for playing all of the gambling coupons to their optimal value is $602.
Wow.
Yeah. So now we always put a disclaimer in there, a red herring, going, this comes with a lot of risk. All right. So this is like playing, we have 2 4-of-a-kind coupons to give you 100 coin bonus. So a lot of risk comes in with that. You know, you could easily go a long time without hitting the quad and eat up all that bonus there. We've got deals at downtown at the D and Golden Gate where as you play through, you can earn up to another $100, but it takes a lot of play. So we're talking about video poker maneuvers with a lot of variance here. So the total value for somebody who can play them all and play them perfectly and is not worried about the variance is $602. But we have what we call AI, any idiot. All right, AI value. And these are the match plays, the strict, easy 20 for 20s, 50 for 50s on machines, things like that. Anybody can play these things without being a gambling stud, right? You don't have to be a gambling stud. So what if you play a couple percentage points below at video poker or whatever? You're still going to get your value out of these. And that number is 247. So literally anybody who buys an LVA for 37 or 50 and plays all of them, which are easy to do. Most of them are downtown. It's 247 in value there.
So everything is big than sports, right? I mean, did you talk to them about sports coupons?
Didn't do a single thing on sports because they're all doing their own deals on sports, which is separate, kinda. You know, I mean, they're all sign up bonuses and different things. So we're going to try to work with them in other areas there. I think next year when they've gotten their sign ups, we'll look for like reload bonuses for sports. But here's the final thing. Again, it's 37 or 50 to join and free play, just pure free play. No match play, nothing. There's 50, $55 in free play coupons in here. You can't lose, right? I wrote in this issue, I said, you know, I was writing about what each of the things were. And I said, gambling coupons. I said, it's another great haul. You know, see the gambling section for these numbers. But I said, it continues to be one of the five great mysteries of the universe to me why we don't have 100,000 subscribers for this component alone. You pay 37 and you get 55 free. Why wouldn't people do that? You know, I don't know. So, but we still hang around 10 to 15,000. You know, I don't understand. I don't get it. But a couple more things and then we'll be done with that. We can move on. I just want to say we were able to get several new ones, including some bars. But we got offers from Circa and Virgin. Now I'll be honest. The Virgin offer is weak. It's really weak. You got to play. You got to earn a tier credit, which might mean playing about 500 through. And at the end of that playthrough, you're going to be an EV of about $5. So it's a whole lot of variance. You know, this is I say play it if you're playing it. Use it if you're playing it. Don't travel to it. You know what I mean? It's just if you're there and you're playing because you like something at Virgin anyway, you might as well redeem that. But the Circa thing was pretty good because Circa's trying to keep a real upscale. They don't want to do, quote, you know, air quote coupons, right? And so I talked to Derek Stevens early in the year. I said, just consider it. Give it some thought. He goes, okay, I will. So here's what they're offering. One or two people can go up to the Legacy Club. That's their, you know, their swanky joint upstairs that overlooks the whole city and all. And you get 2 free glasses of champagne. All right. So, I mean, okay, it's not a gambler's thing or whatever, but people who come here on vacation who want an excuse to go up to the Legacy Club, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Right? You get two.
It's free, right?
It's so free. I mean, those champagne splits up there are going to go for $17, $18. It's a $36 play. So I was thrilled. I thought it was great. And everybody I talked to who's not a gambler is like, I'm going. So we have lots of things like, you know, like that in the book as usual. And one last one, new also was the Bar Distill, who gave us the best video poker offer of all of them, which is, it's in their new place on Rainbow, but it's play 50, get 50. I mean, you know, their best game is 6-5 bonus poker, right? So you're playing at 4%, but let's say you're playing 5% negative, that's still a $45 coupon, right? So there's a lot of good in here. And I'm pretty, you know, I know that was a big commercial, but I want everybody to know that, you know, we're still doing it and I'm pretty pleased with what we got.
Yeah.
Well, good.
You running over for that 50 for 50?
I certainly will pick up my my member's reward and the...
Thanks for that enthusiastic.
Oh, yeah, but I can't do it today because it's not out yet. Now, any chance Huntington Press is going to publish any books this year?
Are you kidding? Well, actually, that's an interesting, sort of will you really? Because the supply chain thing is real, man. You know, the problems with the supply chain that we've been talking about with restaurants not being able to get product and, you know, various things not, you know, cars costing so much and all that sort of thing. Same thing with printing. I mean, we just sent, Huntington Press took over, acquired, you know, through a mutual, it's not like we, you know, we attacked them and bought them out, but through a mutual deal, we acquired the books from Pi E Press, which are the Stanford Wong books. And the first one that we put back together, didn't update it much because it didn't need much updating really. It's got old examples, but all the information is still solid with Sharp Sports Betting. And we sent it in December, and typically that book would be back end of January, and we can't get it back till March because of problems with supply chain, supplies of papers, getting trucks to deliver. Prices are up everywhere. I literally wrote to our printers of so many years, and I go, it's getting to the point where, you know, what are we going to have to charge for books? We're going to have to charge $30 or $40 for a book? You know, so this may portend the rise of Kindle and that kind of stuff. So we will, even if we'll continue to put books in hard copy form, but the prices are probably going to have to go up because we have no choice, you know? So, you know, people might start looking toward online, you know, using their readers and things like that. So yes, we have a very cool and aggressive schedule for the new year. Starting with the Wong books, Sharp Sports Betting is already at the printer. Professional Blackjack is now out of print. I mean, that's one of the books I read. You guys probably, when you started Blackjack, didn't you read Wong's Professional Blackjack?
Yeah. I still have the hardcover copy. Yeah.
Wasn't that like one of the first ones? I know.
Yeah. It was the Bible for high-low. I mean, I started with playing Blackjack as a business, but he didn't really have the full index numbers and things like that. Wong did.
What Wong had, that more than anybody, I started with Einstein's book, right? How to Play Blackjack, I think it was called. And that wasn't even parameterized correctly. The numbers were wrong in that one. But I understood the concept, and I went from, you know, book to book. And when I read Wong's book, I would probably say that's the one that pushed me to say this is what I'm going to do, because he didn't just talk about, okay, here are the numbers and they're the best ones out there, but this is how it works, you know. And he used to say funny things like, you know, I would earn my day's rice by doing, you know, because everybody, you know, he wanted everybody to think he was Asian, and obviously he was about as white as rice, you know. But you know, yeah. I remember reading that, and the guy who gave me that book said, this will tell you how it's done. And so, you know, certainly that's the classic of all time, and we're going to bring that one back.
Well, and it's the book where he, you know, first introduced Wonging.
Yep.
Like, and it became called Wonging because, I mean, now people are starting to call it back counting, I guess, because...
I hate when they do that. It should be called Wonging, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for anybody of a certain age, it's called Wonging.
Yeah, that's
right?
What we call it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll be doing those. But, all right, so back to our thing. We just published Then One Year, which is a follow-up to Then One Day. Then One Year is selling just like Then One Day did. It's just, it's really selling. People want sports betting, and they're getting a good, you know, they're getting a good perspective of it from the bookmaker. I know you had him on, and
well, we had him on for Then One Day, so we had not yet had him on for
Right. He's going to come back for Then One Year, right?
For sure.
Yeah, he's a great storyteller. He was a good guest.
Terrific writer.
And he had a great time.
Yeah,
I know. He told me. So yeah, he'll be back. All right. So then I'll just add this one in because it's going to be one of the first ones. This is not a gambling book. It's called, really what we do here now is we do gambling and we do Vegas, kind of like, you know, an eating book now and again, but we do gambling and mob. That's really what we do. And we've got a new mob book coming out called Shameless. And it's about women mobsters. And this is some of the best writing I have seen. It's Lisa Townsend Rogers is the author. She's turned it in. Deke's working it over right now. And Deke sends me passages from it. And the passages are just unbelievable. It's very ballsy, you know, written by a woman about women, but it's ballsy. I mean, she's uses language, man. And I mean, it's a good book. And I'm looking forward to it. Then we get back into the gambling. I'm pretty excited about it, man. I mean, we're going to do this book with Michael Kaplan. And the working title, I'm not crazy about, but it's something along the lines of, I think I'll hang around and see what happens.
That's the title?
I hope not. I think I'm going to change it. But the whole idea about that was that he became, you know, I think you guys will agree, he became the top mainstream writer about gambling. And obviously, we've got great gambling writers, you know, right at this table. You two guys, you know, both are prolific in your writings about gambling. But this guy writes for Esquire and Cigar Aficionado and things like that. And most of those people can't get it right. Well, Kaplan can. And he has become the dean of it. You know, first it was Michael Koenig, and then it was taken over by Michael Kaplan. And Kaplan brought together a lot of the columns that he's done on a lot of really interesting things. And he brought it to us, and we said, we don't want a column collection. We do not want that. You know, we've done it before. It gets tired. It just doesn't last. We want a book that has a thread that goes through it about advantage play. Because every one of these stories is about advantage play. And he took it back and redid it and brought it back. And we said, not good enough. Do it again because we want this, this, and this. And what he's done now is he's got a thread. He starts the book off with one of the best explanations of advantage play I've ever seen. And then he talks about each chapter, why this person was an advantage player, because they aren't all gamblers. Mm-hmm. Some of them are people who do other things in life, right? But it's mostly gambling. You know, and he's got Stu Unger, and he's got, you know, Unger was an advantage player way before his time, playing in a way that now all the kids play, you know, with their very aggressive style. And he's got quotes from guys about what Unger would have been today, you know, how he would have been able to compete. And he's got a bunch of stuff on Phil Ivey, both Ed Sorting and other things, you know, he's done. And each one, there's a thread that runs through the whole thing that talks about advantage play. And he leads off each one saying why this person is an advantage player and why are they in the book and what lessons you can learn. And then he has outtakes at the back, things that have happened since he wrote that. This is going to be a really cool book. And the more I read it, the more I look at it and see it, the more excited I am about it to get it. At first, I wasn't that excited. I'm like, okay, column collection from Kaplan. It'll be good. He's a great writer. But now I really like it because he said to me just the other day talking about it, he said, you really made me think about this the way I hadn't thought about it before. And he read me some of the new things he'd added. And he's like right on the mark. And you guys are going to like it.
Yeah, no, it's that sounds it's gonna like be something I definitely would love to read.
And it's close. He's right on the verge of submitting it, and then we'll take it through its paces.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about it is he didn't call me to do a chapter.
He didn't. You know what? This is funny. I don't think there's any video poker in this, unless, you know, it's just a little bit on the side here and there. Like, I think he might talk a little bit about Eddie Teams. You know, like, most people don't know who Eddie Teams is. But, you know, I mean, some of the stuff he did with video poker and stuff like that.
Oh, you know? Yeah. No, I tried to get him to come on the show. He has a lawsuit pending, last I talked to him.
We're cognizant of that. We're aware. And there might not be as much about Eddie as we thought there might be. So, yeah. Joe, to be honest. But there are people like him. I guess I was just using him because he's the name that popped into my head. So there's going to be stuff in here that other people haven't seen. And, of course, there's a huge chapter and thread about Gross Gene. Some good stuff there, too.
Speaking of which, there's a book on your list there noticeably absent.
It's not absent. I haven't got the end of the list yet.
Oh, okay. I thought that was going to be higher on the list in terms of...
I'm saving it for the pièce de résistance, man. Okay. So I'm saving it for the end here. All right, the next one here. Million Dollar Mechanic. We've talked about this in the past, and it's a real deal. This is Houston Curtis, the guy who was, you know, portrayed in Molly's Game as the guy who... what's his name? I can't remember. But the guy who went off one night and lost all the money. But Houston was playing. He's the one who started the game with Tobey Maguire.
He's been on the show.
Okay. Houston is a mechanic, and he was playing that game. He started that game, was playing in that game, dealing seconds to Tobey, unbeknownst to Tobey. Tobey didn't know, but he was splitting with Tobey. So it doesn't matter, right? Just give him the cards, right? And
although he claimed here that the vast majority of the time they had a shuffling machine, so you know, it was only on rare occasions where he would get to. Now, who knows what the reality is? Yeah. And the fact that Tobey didn't know. I mean, who knows what the reality is?
I think it's somewhere in the middle. But I'll tell you what, Houston's pretty good. And so any opportunities that would come up, Houston was probably taking advantage of them. But the thing about this book is it's going to be not so much that story, because that story's already been written. And it was called the Million Dollar Poker Heist or something, Hollywood Heist or something.
Yeah.
And that was done by the people who do the National Enquirer. After I said, I don't want any part of it. And the people who do the National Enquirer, who know how to fend off any kind of, you know, liability with that, are the ones who did that. So since it's already been out there, we're not going to retread it, you know, dredge it all back, rather. But we're not going to get that much into it. It's going to be more of a book about how it's done and the things you do and how the moves work and everything else. And it looks like the foreword is going to be written by Steve Forte.
Wow.
Steve has already said he will read the book. He will critique the book. He and Houston got to be really good buddies. And he's already said he's in. He will do everything he can to help. And he hasn't committed yet, but I think he'll write the foreword, which will be really something. Because anybody who hasn't heard of Steve Forte, if there's any guy who approaches Grosstein, if it's not Munchkin, it's probably 40, right?
I mean, I would not put myself in that class all. But
I would.
I mean, when it comes to cheating, yeah.
I'm just talking about in terms of general gambling knowledge. You're right up there, Richard. You're right up there for sure in terms of all different things. You know, just as Bob is for video poker, you are for all things, in my opinion. Don't mean to embarrass you on the radio, but I would put you in that category as well. But most people say it's Grosstein and 40. So to get this is going to be a good one. And I just talked to Houston also. I talked to all the authors at the beginning of the new year and say, are we in or are we out? And these guys are in. All right.
Wow, that sounds like an interesting book.
Yeah, it will be good. Then there's one more before we talk about Grosstein. And that's, we've talked about it. Blair's All About Sports Betting. I still think this is going to be the best book on sports betting probably ever written, especially for beginners. He spent close to 2 years writing it. He keeps adding to it constantly. The only reason it's not out yet is because of me. Dancer's nodding his head over there. Yeah. Because of me, because it sometimes takes a while to get past me when I've got a book that I'm really interested in. I want to make sure it's great, you know, but I'm going to work on it hard. I'm going to be carrying it around with me, and that's going to be a great book on sports betting. It's going to have a chapter or two from Frank B. So one of the main strategy chapters is going to be from Frank. I'm probably going to contribute one chapter on playing contests, where I've had some success, and it's going to be a great book. And then we've got two from Grosstein. They're mostly about the Carney games and where they're vulnerable, how to play them properly, some side bet stuff. I believe, I'm not sure exactly what's going to be in it. There's going to be two of them. One's going to be a basic strategy one that's going to literally take people from playing these things at 20% disadvantages to 3% and 4% disadvantages, and show them a few ways to get around it. Then he's going to have what he calls the lockdown edition. And the lockdown edition is going to have the monster information in it. And
like CAA kind of information?
Yeah, yeah. And that'll be priced really high. And, you know, because it's going to be the sort of thing that you can make a lot of money off of, just the way he's always, the way he's always done it. So that's pretty much our lineup right there. Right now, there's not a book in there that I think is a dog. I really like them all.
Yeah, no, they definitely sound good. I know the reason I keep asking about the Grosstein books is because I know a large portion of our listeners, especially the people on the Blackjack Discord, are always asking about it. So any projection at all when
it's the basic strategy one. I'll tell you, there's something about Grosstein. You can't really edit him.
Yeah, well, that's what he says. They're perfect when he turns them in.
Yeah, what am I going to do? Am I going to edit? Am I going to tell Grosjean his numbers are wrong? You know, I go to Grosjean for numbers, you know, so what am I going to do? Tell him his numbers are wrong? So you can't really edit them. So my edit will be quick and swift. It'll be a house style and, you know, that sort of thing. And he's one hell of a writer.
Yeah.
He and is really one funny. Hell of a writer. I mean, he's clever and he's funny. And I'm not going to mess with that. So it's going to be pretty quick. I can't say exactly because, again, we're having a problem with printers and stuff. So I can't say exactly. But it's going to be in the first quarter. It's going to be toward the end of the first quarter of this year. So in the first 3 months. We're working on it. Deke's already gone through it. You know, Deke's our senior editor. It's waiting on me. And so, I mean, these are the kind of books I can do in 2-3 days. So as soon as I get through it, we'll be sending them off.
Very good. So we got several more things to talk about, but first we need a commercial break. The South Point has more than 10,000 games, returning at least 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In January, Monday through Thursdays, 3 a.m. to 3 a.m., there's a spin-to-win promotion. Earn 2,000 points in video poker or 500 points at slots and spin a virtual wheel at your machine. Limit 4 spins per day. The points awarded range between 2,500 or 750 and 100,000 or 300. The free slot play awarded ranges from 5 to 100. In prior years, these spins averaged about $12 each. So that means normally for $2,000 worth of play, you get $6 in free slot play. So you keep that. So this makes it triple points for the first $8,000 coin in 4 days a week. As of today's taping, I've had 16 spins, and they've averaged $13.25 so far. It's far too early to evaluate if this is significantly different than the $12 they've had in the past. Monday, January 17th, Martin Luther King holiday. There'll be a $32,000 hot seat promotion from 8 a.m. to midnight. Every 3 minutes, a lucky player earns $100 in free slot play.
Hey guys, this is Colin from BlackjackApprenticeship.com, and if you're serious about card counting, I'd encourage you to check out the Blackjack Apprenticeship membership. It has the training tools you'll need to beat the game, like our comprehensive video course and our training suite, so you can learn each skill and virtually test yourself before ever stepping foot in a casino. It also includes the tools you'll need to succeed, like our pro betting software, casino database, results tracking software, and access to a community of like-minded advantage players to network with in our members forum and chat room software. You can find out more at blackjackapprenticeship.com.
VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Magic Deal Poker. This is a 10 coins per line game where periodically, prior to the deal, you receive 1, 2, or 3 Magic Deal cards. These are like wild cards, except they are determined after all the other cards are dealt, and they must take the value of a real card, which means you cannot have 5 of a kind in a game like Double Double Bonus. The frequency of the Magic Deal cards depends on the game. On games where 2 pair receives even money, like Double Double Bonus, you get relatively few Magic Deal cards because 4 aces pays a bunch. On games where 2 pair pays double money, such as Jacks or Better or Bonus Poker, you get significantly more Magic Deal cards. But of course, 4 of a kinds are only worth $125 on these games. So it all makes sense. All right, we are back talking to Anthony Curtis. You've had lots of stories in the past about Mattress Mack. Have you heard anything from him recently?
Sure. You know, Mac is, he's very active in the things he's doing. He bet a lot of football earlier in the year, and he was just betting because he likes to bet, you know, but he was also taking advantage of sign-up bonuses, right? Just like the rest of us do, except his sign-up bonuses are bigger.
A lot bigger.
Yeah, because not just that they're proportional, but he can negotiate better, you know, deals for his for for depositing $1 million, you know, that sort of thing. So Mac did, he did a bunch of that for during football. And he's running some new promotions now. He's running one right now around the college football championship that his customers will get their money back if Alabama wins. And Frank and I are working to help him hedge that a little bit. It's a little bit difficult because he sprung that one on us late and we couldn't get a lot of leverage on this. And, you know, we're kind of working with Alabama as a small underdog, which, by the way, I am shocked that Alabama is an underdog.
Did beat Georgia a month ago.
They woodshedded them, man. They woodshedded them. You got Saban with 2 weeks to prepare and, you know, all of this. I will be honest that, you know, they're 3-point dogs. I thought they were going to be 2.5 to 3-point favorites. But anyway, so we're working with him on that. But he's also, you know, he was in the news recently for his Super Bowl futures bet, where he bet the Patriots to win the Super Bowl at 23-1 for Ooh. $2 million.
Oh, wow.
$2 million. So
this was a while ago. Right now, the Patriots were at 6, 7, or 8 to 1.
Somewhere around that right now, yeah. So how good a bet is that, Richard?
$46 million. That is
getting 20 that. Get 23-1 on a current 7-1 is that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
And that was all Mac. That was his handicap. That's who he thought was going to do well, and he wanted to do that and run a promotion around the Patriots.
Now he could cash that in, but he has no interest in doing that.
No, he wants
to. Wait, how can he cash it in? I mean, he could make hedges, right?
Yeah. But
There will be hedges. There will probably be hedges on that we do. But, you know, to be honest, I forget where he bet it. But if he bet it, I mean, I'm almost certain he bet it at FanDuel or DraftKings or, you know, possibly Score or one of those. Almost all of them now have buyouts.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. And so you basically surrender. And anytime you take one of those, you're taking pretty much the worst of it mathematically. But, you know, if you can lock in a $2-3 million.
It's like deal or no deal, yeah. Right? Where you give up a big portion of your EV.
Exactly. That's what it is. So he's got that option going for him. But right now, you know, he's going to run a big promotion around the Super Bowl that people will get their money back if the Patriots win it. So he now has, you know, when he came to us about the Astros bet a few years back, he had upwards of $40 million that he had to hedge, that we had to create this hedge for him, you know, within 30 or 40 days. At this point, he's got $46 million hedging this thing right now, and he's not going to have that much action. So, you know, he'll probably be rooting for the Patriots all the way, because he likes to give the money back because it's good for business, and he'll make more than he would have the other way around, right? And then there'll be opportunities with this big overlay at this point. There'll be opportunities to lay off in certain areas, and we'll wait and see what happens there. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think he would have realized to bet Alabama a long time ago when he could have got a big future on it, as opposed to...
Yeah, well, Mac is, he's pretty spontaneous. And, you know, I mean, he just like, sometimes he thinks these things way out. I mean, he's a terrific businessman, and he's a terrific promoter. And, you know, he really knows how to run his show. But sometimes he just, you know, gets a wild hair, you know, and he's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And he calls me up and he goes, here's what I did. What should I do now? I'm like, I'll get back to you in an hour. You know, you sit down and take a look at a spreadsheet and try to figure out what to do. But it's sure fun working with a guy. And I mean, anybody who's watched the news, you know, when they see all the things that have happened, the disasters and things, and that guy's always front and center. And it's not for show, you know. I mean, he just really is a compassionate dude. It's really cool what he does. Mm.
Now, $46 million is a pretty big win, should it happen. Richard, you knew a guy named Alan Woods. He made a bigger bet than that. Do you know any of the details on that?
Yeah. So, Alan Woods, who's in my book, Gambling Wizards, you can read an interview with him, who's now dead. But he called me up, I think it was 1998, if that's the year of the World Cup. You know, it's every four, right? So mm-hmm. I forget exactly. I think it was 98, maybe it was 96. He calls me up and he says, hey, look, I'm taking all this action on the World Cup. Do you want a piece of it? And I said, yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, he's not going to be making a bet if he doesn't think he has the edge. And basically, he's the bookie in this situation. And he says, okay, I'm going to give you half of 1%. And I was like, okay, thanks. And I hung up the phone. I'm thinking like, gee, you know, great, half of 1%. Like, I mean, it's free money, right? But still, like, you know, it's nothing. And so it turned out that he was living in Hong Kong. And it turned out all the Chinese bookies were getting all the action on the favorites. This is early in the World Cup.
Right.
And they needed to lay off. So he just said, you want to lay off? Tell them they can lay off with me, all of his runners and things, you know.
Yeah.
So they all started laying off, and he started getting all this layoff money coming in. So anyway, I have half of 1%. And now it gets to the finals, and he calls me up, and he says, look, there's a lot of money on the finals, and I'm thinking that it may be more of a swing than you want to take, and I was going to drop you down to a tenth of 1%. And I was like, Alan, how big a swing can I take with half of 1%? And he says, 125,000. And I was like, yeah, take me down to a tenth. Yeah. And, you know, fortunately for him, you know, he won his bets.
So the amount.
Well, he must have had money on both sides.
No. I mean, he had, he had an enormous. I can't remember. I think everybody likes to bet the favorite, or maybe everybody in Asia likes to bet the dog. I don't remember. So all the action was coming on one side, which is why if the wrong side won, I could swing 125,000.
So okay, all right. So his win was 100 million plus.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's all right. So is that a bigger bet than Mac or not? I mean, he's taken action from all different areas. Mac's made one single bet to win $46 million. Because there's sort of a debate out there. This is an interesting. I had heard, you know, all kinds of stories about Alan, but I hadn't heard this one. And I'm wondering, which one's classified as like the biggest sports bet of all time?
Well, it'd be interesting how much he actually had on the one game, the finals.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe
Max right in there. I'll tell you that. And it's you know, you talk about having money on both sides. Well, he does, because he's got furniture sales. That's what makes him unique. That's what makes what he does so different, in that he's always got both sides, right? And sometimes with bigger edges, and sometimes, you know, he hedges heavy one side or another. You know, he might be heavy. He wants them to win or lose, but mostly he's big on the side where he can give the money back, because that's great for business.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense.
And you need to buy a $3,000 mattress or something to qualify, something like
that.
Yeah,
you got to buy $3,000 worth of, you know, everybody says mattress, but he's got everything, bedroom furniture, all that stuff. You know, he came to the blackjack ball once, as you recall,
mm-hmm.
And he came to my office beforehand, and we went together. And he came up to my office where I got this ratty couch. He goes, I'll be sending you a couch next week.
And did he?
No, he didn't. But he went. He went if I'd asked. I said, no, you know. But he meant to. I mean, I guarantee you he would. But no, he sells all kinds of, you know, he's got a furniture empire there. And, you know, he sells furniture of all sorts.
So there have been football contests all year long. And some have already been decided.
And you're usually in those, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I entered most of them. I haven't for years entered Westgate, you know, the super contest. I haven't entered that, because I've sort of viewed that. Well, I hated when they started taking the 8% out. And see, all these contests, you know, Circa just, you know, ran over them, you know, by good promotions and, you know, doing their Survivor and guaranteeing money and not taking anything out of the prize pool. So not only was Circa not rating the prize pool for 8%, but there were potential overlays, and there ended up being overlays this year in one of them. Survivor was a gigantic overlay. So I haven't played, and I always felt that all of the best guys gravitated to everybody who was great was playing to win what was considered the world championship at the Westgate. So I haven't played the Westgate for years, but I played a smaller contest at the Westgate that was an over-under contest this year that only had 180 entrants. I haven't even looked at that. I don't know where it stands. But I played the William Hill College, which Frank and I play these together as a team, and we've taken second there twice. And we were in it for a while, but then fell out at the end. Didn't do too well on that one. And played Survivor and played the other Pick 5 at Circa and played Last Man Standing at the Station Casino.
Now, what's the difference between Survivor and Last Man Standing?
Survivor is you only pick the team to win. So you're not, there's no point spreads. There's nothing going on with money lines or anything. You just pick a team to win. So you would, you know, assume, let's say that you've got a team like the Titans who are like really doing great and they're playing at home against a crappy team like the Texans. Well, certainly, you know, you've got a lock by betting the Titans, except when I bet them and the Texans beat the Titans and I was out of Survivor.
Well, some people would get pissed at that. You know?
Oh, no, not me. It only took me like 3 days to get over it. But the difference, I'm sorry, I couldn't pass up that opportunity. The difference with Survivor is you pick a team only to win, no point spreads. So usually you're picking big favorites, but then you can use that team again the rest of the year. So once you use them, they're gone. So you got to plot your way in Survivor about what's going to happen and what you need at the end and, you know, how it's going to do. With Last Man Standing, you can pick the same team again and again and again. That's against the point spread. So interesting, Last Man Standing, we'll get to Survivor in a minute. Last Man Standing was won by a guy named Chris Z, who goes by Vegas Chris. He and another guy chopped it. There were two of them at the end. But Chris has won this Last Man Standing, which gets like thousands of entries for station casinos. He's won it. This is either the second or the third time he's won it. He's good, man. And I mean, I've gotten to know Chris because, you know, when I found out how good he was, I like sought him out like a groupie, you know, and I was like, had some drinks with him and all. Actually, I just ran into him in a bar and I didn't know who he was. And we got to talk and I'm like, well, you're him, you know, that sort of thing. And he really does know his stuff on that particular contest and contests in general. And I just, you know, applaud him for his skill there. The Survivor now.
Is he a professional player?
Yeah, he's a sports bettor.
We should see if we can get him on the show.
Oh, Chris would be great. He would be great because, you know, he's done a lot of YouTube stuff and everything else. And he's a real personable guy. You really like him. I'll contact him for you.
That'd be great.
He'd be good on the show. And now you get to Survivor. And we had it all planned out. You know, I mean, Frank did most of the work on it. Had it all planned out where we were going to be. And then we took that beat when the Texans, you know, beat the Titans, and then we were gone. We'd had some other entries that we'd lost earlier on, but we felt pretty good about this one. But last I heard, and I don't know the results of this week, there were only five left, and first only one winner, $6 million.
Wow!
So the EV of that ticket was $1.2 million, right? Each of those five was sitting on a $1.2 million ticket, essentially, for, you know, mathematically speaking. And I'm not sure what happened, but they did it better this year because last year there were 35 or 36 winners that cut the pot. This year there's going to be at max five and, you know, 6 million. And it ain't going to be that. You know, it's going to come down to one or two or whatever. One person's going to get 6 million. It was a big overlay too, by the way, because it was 1,000. So they needed 6,000 to enter and they only had about 4,200. Giant overlay. Yeah. It's really good.
Could you have more than one entry?
Yeah, you could get up to six.
Yeah.
So we had six. I guess we could have done six and six, but we kind of just didn't. We just went with six, you know, total on that one. So I'm looking forward to next year. You know, Circa is like now the big dog, and by the way, Circa forced Westgate to stop taking their 8%. So they're all now even equity tournaments now. So that was kind of good too.
Is Westgate gonna seed the pot, guaranteed money?
I don't know. You know, I mean, that's up to Jay Cornegay over there. You know, what they decide they want to do. They're going to have a hard time, you know, getting the crown back from Circa now because Circa's really established themselves. And, you know, Derek Stevens just very aggressive over there and guaranteeing $6 million, having no idea which way it was going to go. Here's a little inside information real quick. The reason we got anybody who go drinks two free glasses of champagne in the Legacy Club on Derek Stevens can thank Survivor Contest for this. Because here's what happened. I get a text right before, 1 week to go, before Survivor. I get a text from Derek going, can you come down and talk about promoting Survivor for a minute? And I go, sure. I came down, I meet him at the long bar there, the big bar. And he goes, we've only got about 30 some hundred entries with a week to go. And he goes, we need 6,000. And he says, I'd like to do some promotion through LVA. He goes, we got some money to spend. I'd like to buy some ads. I'd like to do some stuff through your network. And I said, I'll tell you what, don't pay me a dime. We'll promote it through our stuff. Just consider something for member rewards. Just consider something. And he goes, okay. We shook on it. It was, you know, a gambler's agreement. And I'll be damned if he didn't. He stayed true to it and he came up with something. So it's because of Survivor that you can go get 2 free glasses of champagne at the Circa.
And you must have been successful. They only had 3,000 but and ended up with 4,200.
I would love to say that was because of us, but we might have been, you know, we might have brought in a few. I don't know, but nothing like that. No, they just people all come in at the end. You know how that works. People don't. They don't want anybody holding their money for too long. They come in at the end. I can't take too much credit for that. That's why we only got two bottles of champagne, 2 glasses of champagne instead of something else.
Very good. It's always a pleasure to have you on, Anthony. And at the end of our shows, we have a recommended section. So, Richard, do you have a recommended for our audience today?
Yeah, and it's a weird one. It's a weighted blanket. So.
I've seen these advertised.
Yeah. So I got my wife a weighted blanket for Christmas. It weighs 30 pounds, this blanket. And it's supposed to help you sleep better. And I have to say, I didn't get it for myself. I got it for her. I have to say, both of us are sleeping longer and she's waking up less in the middle of the night. And I don't know, there's something kind of comforting about having this extra weight on you when you're sleeping. It makes it a little hard to roll over. Like, I go from side to side. So with the blanket on, it's a little tougher. But, you know, if you have trouble sleeping, I would say check this out. I'm really happy that I got it for her, and she is too.
Because you're snugger? You feel snugger
guess,
and
yeah,
safer?
Like maybe like a baby, or you're swaddled or something. I don't know.
Is it heated?
It's not heated. It actually claims to have some kind of cooling thing. So, because I guess it's supposed, you're supposed to have it cooler when you sleep than normal. You sleep better if it's cooler. Anyway, yeah.
Now, is this a particular brand? There's lots of brands out there. These.
Yeah, I don't have any particular brand. I don't even remember the brand. It's just,
it's the
I
whole
mean,
idea.
How big a difference can it be if it's a 30-pound blanket, right?
Yeah, but maybe 28 pounds, magic number.
Maybe, yeah.
21.
21, of course, yeah.
Thinking about, there's something about Mary where a guy has six or 7 minute abs, and the guy suggested 6 minute abs, and
for the better, yeah, the better deal.
And just guy goes ape on it. My recommended is a musical. It's now on Netflix. It's called Tick Tick Boom. This is a story of Jonathan Larson, true story, mostly. A talented musician and playwright who's seeking success in New York musicals in 1990, just as he's about to become 30 years old. Jonathan faces writer's block, struggles with his girlfriend, financial woes, friends dying from AIDS. It is about musicals in New York City, but more broadly, it's about striving to reach your goals. In real life, Larson created the Tony and Pulitzer winning musical called Rent. But he actually died before it was performed. He had this heart attack. Now, for me, when I was almost 30, my goal was to be the best backgammon player in the world. I fell far short of that goal. But while I had it, I gave it everything I had. So for me, this movie was about backgammon. Now, even though the movie itself has nothing to do with backgammon, I suspect many of us will find, when we were searching for our goals at various points in our life, what the music was about. But it's on Netflix. It's supposed to be in theaters soon. It is worth your time to watch it.
I just want to mention that it's the directorial debut of Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy behind Hamilton. And you know, I've heard him tell a story about seeing Rent when he was 15 years old, and it changed his life and made him want to become a playwright. And so I have not seen it yet. I've been meaning to watch it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, in addition to Hamilton, he did In the Heights, which was another musical, which was pretty spectacular.
Well, when you started this recommendation, I thought to myself, I have zero interest in this. But after your review, I am interested. So good job.
Uh-huh. Good. I should see if I can get a commission from Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Okay, so mine. I did a show last time. I'm going to surprisingly do a show this time. We reviewed the current LVA. We reviewed the show Whitney, which is at Harrah's right now. And I forget the subtitle, Whitney, the Fabulous Singer, or whatever. I don't know. But it's about Whitney Houston. And most people probably know Whitney Houston was one of the most successful, iconic, you know, singers of all time. She had over 200 million albums sold. And she died, you know, from drug overdose and abuse. And so how do you do a show about Whitney? Well, you would reckon that they would have a somebody portray her, you know, like Legends in Concert. What do they call those people?
Impersonators.
Impersonator, exactly, yes. But no, this is a hologram. And Whitney is a hologram. And if you've never seen this before, if anyone's seen Michael Jackson 1 at Mandalay Bay, they have Michael Jackson as a hologram. And Michael comes out and does some moonwalking and all of this. And it's quite amazing. You know, when I saw it, I was like, wow, that is cool. Well, that was about 3 or 4 minutes of Michael Jackson. This is a 75-minute show with Whitney Houston. And what's odd about this, what makes this interesting is that it might be that this is the way entertainment, this could be looking into the future of entertainment, where you can go back and get anybody, right? You can get Sinatra, you know, you can go back and get whoever, you know, I mean, go back to wherever you want.
Yeah.
Elvis, sure. You know, whoever you want to do it with.
Well, if you have the footage.
If you've got the right footage.
Yeah.
But Whitney is up there. There's a four-man band. A four or five piece band, four backup dancers who are live, and they're interacting with the hologram. And Whitney's talking to them and applauding them, and the voice is perfect because it's all been, you know, redone, and, you know, in the studio and made beautiful and everything else. And as we wrote in the review, nothing can go wrong because, you know, Whitney's not going to come loaded or anything else. You know, it's going to be the best of Whitney. And the strangeness is in how the audience begins to almost think it's real. And Whitney does her song and everybody starts clapping for Whitney. You're clapping for the hologram, right? And it's a very surreal sort of thing if you let yourself think about what you're really doing there.
Yeah.
So, you know, Whitney had some great songs and the songs are great. And it's an interesting show. It's not a bargain. You know, I think it starts at about 75. We're going to look for a deal for it, you know, with our printable rewards. But it might be the future of entertainment. So people who like to look ahead, they might want to see it.
I think so, too. And, you know, actors have been worried about this for 20 years in Hollywood, that they're going to be replaced by this. And, you know, Bogart is dead. But if you can bring him back and start making movies with Bogart again,
right,
he'd be a lot cheaper than Tom Cruise.
Well, there's a lot of this stuff going on. You know, we talked before the show about the metaverse and all these different things. And to me, they all overlap. And that'll be a show for the future, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to have footage of Bogart in a movie that's just being created now, where some of his costume is what he wore for the Maltese Falcon. Some
oh,
was
but
for,
you can change the wardrobe. Yeah.
Was African Queen. Some was Casablanca, whatever they were.
Yeah, actually, the technology now is you get new actors to walk around and do the physical action, and then you just replace them with Bogart.
Ooh, that's wild.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I remember, I know we have to end here, but I remember 20 years ago, I forget when, Demi Moore had her, she felt like she was in her peak physical condition,
yeah.
She had her whole body scanned
digitally
so that they could use her body, her image, sometime in the future to put her into movies.
That's wild. That's cool. I didn't know that. Sort of like who froze his head? Ted Williams?
Supposedly at Walt Disney, I think. Yeah, no, Ted Williams, I think, actually did.
I think he froze his head or something.
Walt Disney, I think it was an urban legend.
But. Put that on a baseball player these days, huh? We have a new superstar.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.